It was Newsweek magazine that said the documentary Black Tar Heroin makes train spotting look like an after-school special. Filmmaker Steve Okazaki and Jason Cohen spent more than 2 years in San Francisco's drug underworld, recording the daily lives of 5 young heroin addicts. They were all addicted to black tar heroin, the drug that's devastated San Francisco's street life in recent years and doubled the drug-related death rate. Jason Cohen calls black tar heroin one of the ugliest drugs anyone can take.
Ugly would be one way to describe it. It's a cheap heroin, and it's accessible for everybody.
Just to make it clear, we're not talking about, even if there is such a thing, we're not talking about recreational use of heroin. This is really down and dirty.
Yeah, these are addicts who are using on a more than regular basis, where it comes to a point where it's maintenance. Heroin is a drug that you can last on for a while, and people get strung out. And, you know, there was heroin back in the late 60s, and the hippies were using it. And when it first sort of came around, you still see some of these people hanging around, but the type of heroin has changed, and the black tar heroin came in. The quality of it is so low, and you don't really know what's in it.
Is that really the difference between what you call black tar heroin I suppose, a more pure form of it?
The more pure heroin will, in addition to getting people higher, and it's more of a natural high, it is, in effect, pure, and the black tar heroin, they really don't know what is going into it.
What kinds of things might be in it?
Right. I mean, we heard stories of, you know, liquid detergents being used and things that you couldn't imagine that, you know, could possibly be used in it. And it really attacks the body, particularly the veins and...
And the appeal of it is that it must do something.
Well, the appeal of it is when starting out, it is a high, like any other drug. It's a high
and a cheap one, I suppose.
And a cheap one and an addiction. However, after using, they get past the high. They're not getting high anymore. It's a maintenance thing. They need it to live. It's, you know, you wake up and have your coffee. They wake up and have their heroin.
First you're doing dope, you're getting high, then I think you're gonna die, because it's like you keep trying to put some more. It's like, I don't even think, you know, half the times, you know, around the last times I was putting dope in my arm, I wasn't getting high no more. You know, it was to the line, and then I overdosed the last time I did some heroin. I'm clean and sober now, and I know if I use, I'm gonna die, and I don't want to die yet.
Who are they? How did they get started doing this?
The majority of the kids that we came across, at least in San Francisco, are mostly suburban kids that have migrated to the city and gotten caught up in the scene. Majority coming from somewhat troubled backgrounds, maybe escaping a family situation that was not ideal, and coming to the city where there are a group of kids living on the streets, and it's sort of a comfortable wouldn't be the word, but there is an atmosphere where you feel that you can survive and there are other people in the same boat as you. And
friends of a sort.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Watching the film Black Tar Heroin is heartbreaking for a variety of reasons, but mostly because each of these kids, even the ones who come from unimaginable family circumstances, seem like nice kids. It's just hard to believe that their lives are such a wreck.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people that we came across, you could see through this addiction and see that there was a nice kid under there that could have been me or could have been any of my friends, and, you know, that had the normal lifestyle and, you know, came through. But whatever was going on, they were sent on this path and ended up here. And you could also tell that some of these kids were smart, intelligent kids that had sort of gotten caught up in the wrong scene.
This young woman named Tracy, she's 25 now, if she's still around. And she was what, a suburban kid from Ohio who was tested out as precocious.
I was extremely advanced in school. I was tested as having a near genius IQ really early, and I became a really depressed kid. I started becoming a compulsive eater. It was just difficult. We had seen that Sid and Nancy movie, and, you know, I'd heard about heroin, and it just seemed like it'd be something interesting to do as a life experience, because I always said I wanted to try to do everything once.
Fortunately, Tracy is one of the bright spots of our filming, because Tracy has been clean for over 2.5 years and is now a counselor and advocate in San Francisco and works for a group called SAGE that does a lot of great work in San Francisco and is out there counseling other addicts and former prostitutes and herself and has gone back to school.
Well, it's nice to have that positive story, but that is not true for all of the kids that are in your film.
No, unfortunately, that's about it.
Tell me about one of the others. Jake?
Jake is still around, and we saw Jake hit what we thought was his bottom while we were with him. Jake was originally from upstate New York, and then he had been in foster homes, never knew his father, and hadn't been in touch with his mother, and sort of had bounced around through a couple of foster homes, I believe, in Florida. And then
she hadn't ever really wanted him.
Yeah, it was sort of basically from what she told him, he was a mistake.
Now, Jake is a kid who couldn't count on his mother to send him any money. How did he support himself?
Jake made his money as a prostitute on the streets of San Francisco, which a lot of these heroin addicts do.
I've told my friends that I'm HIV positive. I feel like that was the biggest mistake I could ever make, you know. So most of them, they don't want anything to do with me now. If I have dope, then fine, they're right there. But when it's gone, so are they. I'm not really so much scared of death. I'm scared of the way that AIDS kills you. I don't want to go through that pain, you know. I've been through enough pain.
You know, watching this film is very, very hard. You can recommend it in the sense that it is obviously an honest portrayal of what happens, but for anybody who cares anything about people, it's very hard to watch. That's for me, sitting watching your film after it's done, which I assume is 10% of what you saw.
Yeah, we saw a lot. And I think Stephen Okazaki, who's the director of the film, I think we both went in understanding that we were going to be in some tough situations, ethical, emotional.
What kind, for instance?
Yeah, there were a few times where, do we call an ambulance at this point? Have they gone too far? Have they nodded off more than they usually nod off? And are they going to
What's our responsibility
at this point? Exactly. We became rather desensitized to the needles and the shooting up. You know, that was something, that's what they did. And it was, you know, these became our friends and it was just part of their life. And we got used to seeing that on an everyday basis. It was the situations, more emotional situations, seeing some of them go through some just really wrenching times where, yeah, you might have wanted to step in, but we were still trying to keep our distance. And we ran into ethical problems as far as money is involved and them asking us for money. And, you know, we had laid down the law that we were not going to give them money, meals or clothing here and there, but giving them money would have been a revolving door. And yeah. They would have walked down the street to score. So,
do you have expectations? Do you think that it will reach the people who need to know this?
I think it already has reached some people. The film is being used as an educational tool in the majority of jails, at least in the Bay Area, and also in, you know, rehab facilities there, and also in other parts of the country. So then there has been a good reaction from people. The film has been done for 2 years, so it has... It's played around a bit, and people have seen it, and it is affecting, at least people in the jails are getting to see this life that they know already, but maybe take a different look at it.
And while they're in the jails, they are presumably clean, so...
Presumably,
maybe can think about it more seriously.
Yeah, you would hope. So, yeah, we hope it has an impact. We think it does.
Jason Cohen, along with Steve Okazaki, produced and directed the film Black Tar Heroin, The Dark End of a Street.